We begin Parakshain in the second chapter in the Rambam's Hilcha Shluchim Reshuth from the laws of agents and of partners in the Seva Kinyan Book of Acquisitions. When this parak we continue regarding the halachas of Shluchim, regarding the identity of who is an agent, regarding that of a broker, and regarding when there is a situation of einus, of beyond one's control, of mishap as through the medium of an agency. As Rambam gives halacha of regarding who cannot be an agent. So, Eina Goy Nasa Shaliach, a Gentile cannot be an agent, L'dabim and Advam Shabayim, for anything in the world, in halacha. So to a Jew cannot be an agent for a Gentile for anything of anything. Shneim like says in the pasuk in Bamidbar, when it's talking about hafrasha b'truma, kein tirim, so you shall separate. Gam atem, also you. What's also you? To tell you ma atem b'nebir is just like you, because adding on a shlich, also someone else. But it's comparing to atem. Ma'atem b'nei b'ris, just like you are people of the covenant, avshluchachem b'nei b'ris, so too your agents have to be men of the covenant. And from there, we learn that a model to all other areas of halacha. V'adin l'chal ha'tarah kula, same thing is regarding all the entire Torah. Now, it also teaches a mamash l'chachem b'nei b'ris, just like the agent, it's atem. Just like the ones who are sending the agents are people of the covenant. Avshluchal ha'tarah kula, so too regarding the whole entire Torah, mashalech b'nei b'ris, the one who's sending is a person of the covenant. So that means to say you're only a shliach for Yisrael, and only Yisrael could be a shliach for a Yisrael. Halacha beis. A person can make an agent, isha, man or woman, even a married woman, where even though she's not totally in her own domain, even a maidservant and a servant, and even though they're very much not in their own domain, but since they're people of intelligence, and they're also at least in some of the mitzvahs, like women and slaves, then nasan shluchim l'masamat, they could be agents at least for business dealings, and that's really addressing that of Eved and Shivcha, that they can't be agents for Gittin and Kedushin because they're not in the halachas of Gittin and Kedushin, but for definitely for business dealings they could be an agent. Avam misha einam b'nei b'nas, but people that are not people of intelligence, v'im cheder shadvikot, they are the deaf mute, the mentally deranged, and the minor. Einam nasan shluchim, they cannot become agents, and v'loy oisin shlich, they cannot make an agent. This is whether a boy or a girl, which this actually is addressing, not to make an error, to think that a girl is better than a boy because the boy does not have a kinyan chatzar. A girl actually does, as Rambam says, a parak d'halachas chima tana l'chates. So you think maybe she has agency, that's Rambam comes to tell us that even a minor girl does not have laws of agency. Now, l'fikir, therefore, in other words, just like the halacha is, that the only one that becomes a shliach is a bardas, so too we could presume that a person only wants you to make a shliach for them as a bardas, a person of intelligence. So the following case is a ramification. Hashaleich b'noi katan eitz l'chemenev. Someone sends his minor son to a storekeeper. U'madud lo be'isra, and the storekeeper measures out for the measurement of the value of an iser, of shemen, of oil. But not only say iser, and he gives him change from the punyan that he got from his father. He gives him back an iser worth of change. So he's giving him oil of a worth of iser, and an iser of change. And the child loses the oil and the iser and the coin. The storekeeper is liable to pay because he violated the meaning for the excess of the oil and of the iser. Because the father had only sent his child to notify the storekeeper that he needs oil, but not to give the oil and the change to the child. And that's the idea. He should have only sent the package with someone of intelligence, not his son. And that's what we're saying. We could presume that someone does not want a shleich that's not a bardas. Is anything similar like this? Now, but if the father specified and he said, shlach li makot, send it to me with my child, then the storekeeper will be exempt because that was a stipulation that he stipulated. Someone says to his friend, the money, the $100 that I have by you, whether it's a loan, whether it's a deposit, shall chayyul be plenty send it to me through that person. A fellow how you caught, even if it was a minor, if that sender, meaning the one who's acquiescent to that request, wants to send it with that person, then if then he'll be exempt. He's not going to be responsible for insurance because the guy told him you could pay it back to me with that person. And so too, if there's two people that they stipulate between themselves, that either one of us, whoever wants to send something to his friend, to either one of us, Mishalech b'yad Mishayitz Mishalech could send it with whomever he chooses to send it with. Okay, Harry is a Mishalech, then he could send it b'yad Mishayiroloi, through someone that at least it appears to him Shuroloi lichtob, as long as he's fit to transport this thing. And therefore, the nigna by Oved Baderech, if it gets stolen or lost on the way, Let's say the agent denies it. The sender is going to be exempt because any stipulation regarding monetary law is valid. And they stipulated that, yes, you could tender with whomever, and that's not going to be responsibility anymore. And therefore, he gets off the hook like that. Halacha Dalet regarding if an agent notifies or doesn't notify that he's working through the medium of an agency. So Hashaliach Shekana Shemachav, the agent buys or sells. V'idia Shu Shaliach B'davar Zeh L'Plani. And he lets that person know that he's working as an agent. So therefore, Afa B'Shem Mashach, even if he does Mashiach, he draws the item as a buyer. Oy Shemshach, or he has the seller do, meaning if the buyer do Mashiach, if he's working as the seller. And it turns out that he violated the intent of what the one who sent him for. So batla mikach, the sale is void. And the money has to go back. But let's say he didn't let that buyer or seller know that he's an agent. Nikna mekach, then the sale has been acquired. And then he has to go ahead and take it up between himself and the one who sent him, because the guy didn't, the other party didn't know that, and therefore it's not his fault. And therefore you have to take it up with the one who sent you. Halacha Hey continues with, what happens if someone buys a field in someone else's name? So Reuben shekana sada b'Shimon. Reuben buys a field from Shimon. And he says to Shimon, "Lelevi kanisa isa." This is like somewhat related to agency, even though it's not really. He says, it sounds like that he's an agent for him. He says, "Oh, I bought it for Levi." So v'kasav shtamecha b'Shem Levi. So they write the sale deed, the document, in the name of Levi. But then v'chazer Reuben b'amal Shimon. Then Reuben comes back to Shimon and he says, "Actually, that's me kanisa. I actually bought it for myself." Please go ahead and write another document of sale in my name. We don't force the seller to go ahead and now write a new document in the name of Reuben, because he told him it's in that person's name and he already wrote it. Now, but let's say he originally stipulated him and he told him, I'm buying for myself. So why am I asking you to write the name of Levi? I don't want people to know that I'm the buyer. So if he knew that and he wrote for Levi, and then he says, write in my name. Then that is the cafe allows of lift up shtarach b'shem. Then they could go back and force him to write another document in his name because he knew that he was buying it from himself. Halacha Bav continues with the laws of a sarsur, a broker. A sarsur, a broker, is shaliachu. He's an agent. He's not a partner. Elo shehu nitl schar shlichusa. He's just taking wages for his agency as the middleman, as a broker. Even though it looks like partners, like he's getting a share of the sale. No, he's an agent. He's just getting paid for that. Lefikach, therefore, the significance of that is, since he's an agent, so you have all the halachas of shlichas on the broker. Meaning, had he been like a partner, so he could tell him, as we're going to see in the cases that we're going to discuss, regarding, oh, I was intending to do it, that it should work out better, and I sold it a bit cheaper, and he wouldn't have to pay from the losses. So too, if let's say he sells it for a higher price, he'd be able to take his share of the profits. No, you're just an agent. So therefore, mishina das habalim, if he did any deviation from the intent of the owner, mishal mashayim said he has to pay for the loss. Which again, this would be different if it was an agent. If it was a partner. So Reuben shenasan chavis l'shimon asarsa. So Reuben gives an object to Shimon the broker. V'amalei says to him, look, mechor liza, sell me this item, v'al timka b'pachas v'meya, don't sell it for less than 100. V'halacha mechor b'chamish, he sells it for 50. Meshama chamish m'beisa, he has to pay up the 50 from his own house, from his own pocket. V'alacha b'mesam, let's say he sells it for double the amount. Hakal Reuben. All that profit goes to Reuben, like we said in the previous parak, halacha hey. Anything similar like that, he has the halacha as a shliach. Reuven, if Reuven says, look, I told you sell it to me for 100. Vasarsum, the broker says, no, you told me to sell for half that price, for 50. And I sold it for 50. So nishba hasarsu shvur sater. So the sarsu, the broker has to swear a biblical oath, sharim hoidim, he's admitting to part, the guy's claiming a certain amount, and he's saying, no, it's only half of that, which is the biblical oath of hoidim mixes, of partial admission. That no, it's only was half, not the whole. Now, if he already gave him the 50, which essentially it's really denying everything, because the claim now is only on the 50, which he's denying all of that. He's not claiming the 100 and he's admitting 50. He already gave him the 50. Then nishba shvuas has such asus chusa, then he makes a rabbinic oath, because biblically if you're denying the whole thing, which is the part of this half that you're totally denying, then you're exempt. But you make a rabbinic oath, shasus chusa, that he did his agency, v'zeich lekech, and again, the buyer, he acquires the rights for what he had bought. Now, this is all if he didn't know. But if let's say the buyer knew that this object was Reuven's, this is how Michael and the one who's selling it to him is a sarsu, so is a broker. And now here you have this fight between the seller and the broker about how much was he telling him to sell it for. Then the buyer has to give back the object to the owners. the yachrim, and they make a cheirim, a mishanosan le reshus lumka bechamishim, that if he really did give him permission to sell for 50, or he subsequently wanted the 50, now he's backing out after I bought. Again, they cannot force an oath over here, the buyer. He loses out because he knew the guy was working through agency, but he can make a cheirim, he can make excommunication to try to minimize this ill intent, possibly, of the backing out of the seller. Halacha Zayin. Now, any broker that notified the buyer, this object or this property, Sharuben was Ruben's. Now, so after the buyer bought, Amar Ruben says, who he knows was the seller, I don't want to sell for this price, for these monies. The buyer has to give it back. Because the seller didn't set a price with the broker and tell him, sell it for you for this and this amount. Since he didn't tell him anything regarding price, it's as if he said that he's going to back out, and meaning he should come to him when he's about to sell it and let him know the price. And he didn't. So the buyer knew about this, and he should have entertained it was going to be such a possibility. And therefore he could say, I would have agreed to this price, and he has to give him back the money. Now, any broker that loses the object that is his to sell, or if it gets stolen or breaks, has to pay him the issue because he's someone that's getting wages for this item that he's holding on to, where he gets a fee, and if it's a quote like a shem mesacher, he's a paid guardian, essentially because he's getting some profit from it, which is chayav for geneva and aveda and for these situations. Now, halacha chas continues with the related vein, how we qualify is a shoyel or a shem mesacher, this middleman. So let's say there are vessels that were taken to give as a gift or to sell, and something as an oinus happens on the way, which that's a liability that's not for a shem esachah, but rather for a shayil. So l'keach kil mebisa umen, if someone takes vessels from a craftsman, and he's buying them l'shogrim lebeis chamav, he wants to send them as a gift to his in-laws, which for the intention as a gift for his kala, for the family, v'amalein, he tells the store owner, look, if they accept a gift from me, and I'll then pay you the money. If not, then I'll give you a small wage, which is just like an exchange for the pleasure that they were so proud that the new son-in-law wants to give them such a gift, even if they don't end up taking it. Now, what happens is there was an oinus, something beyond the control that caused it to break when he was on the road. So he's going to have to pay for that value because at this point he's like a shoyel. He's all the benefit of his and not just a shoyim sacher. It's like in his domain, and he's liable for all that value. Now, the nensu bechazarba, let's say something beyond his control happened on the way back, pati is exempt, and the reason why that is, why he's pati from oidzin, he's still chayiv as a shoyim sacher for geneva v'aveda, is because he's not like a shoyim anymore. He's not going to buy this anymore, but he still got some benefit from this vessel when he took it to his in-laws, and that's his wages, so that's like a shoyim sacher, he's watching it for pay, but it'll be pati from oidzin. A different case, in the Talmud, let's say he took it on a nasa l'machm nachem, not to give it as a gift to his in-laws, where you know on the way back he's not giving it, and therefore he's not like a shoyl anymore. Rather, he took it with the intention of selling it to others. V'imlin, he tells the owner of the object, he said, look, imi machm b'ma complaini, if it's going to be sold in that place, or adzman plaini, or until that time, en l'chad dam kapakach, so I'll pay you the price, the value for this item, v'imli machm, but if it's not sold, achzim l'ch, I'll give it back to you. V'nentu, and the oinus happens, and here it's b'im alicha b'im mechazar, whether on his way there or even on the way back. The reason why over here the way back is just like the way going is because if he would find a buyer even as on his way back, he would sell to them. So he's still like a shoyel, he's still getting full benefit. Chayav l'sham, therefore he has to pay even if the oinus happens on the way back. Halacha Tes continues regarding what happens if this oinus happens in the area where there definitely were observers. So kol shliach shetoin she'edo oinus plainly. So any agent that claims that an oinus, certain oinus, something beyond his control happened. And the hipster kach v'kach, and there was such and such a loss. So it is a nishba shvus Hashem al tanos. So he makes the oaths of the guardians for his claim, which he's not a shayil. A regular shleach is going to be some form of a shomer, but he's not going to be a shayil. So he makes the oaths that he has to make for such a claim. Yifter, and he'll be off the hook. But v'mhoya oinus, if this oinus was b'makom she'ef shalabi olav edim, that's possible to have brought witnesses. I debashu galbidu, or something that's revealed and well known. For sure there were witnesses that were around. And he has to bring a proof for his claim. If he doesn't bring witnesses, and he's not believed, and Mosham actually has to pay. And as the Ram illustrates, there's a story with a person that told his agent, Kineli arba meis garba yain, an exorbitant amount of wine, purchased me 400 barrels of wine. From the monies that I have that he had by him. But Kondalani acquired it from Benim to Chaimitz, and it turned out to be vinegar. So Amr Chacham, the sages said, Minya Godla Kazesh Echmet, such a large quantity that soured, that became vinegar. Kol Yeshloi. In other words, that for sure this would have been public knowledge, and people would have known what exactly transpired over here, such a large quantity of wine that soured. So Hayil Be'ef Shalhabi Raisin, it's possible they're being approved. Yovi Roya Shalhoye Yain, Hayayin Chaimitz Beshashloka, has been approved that the wine was not vinegar at the time that he bought it. Vifta, and only be exempt. If it doesn't bring a proof, Yisham is going to have to pay. So to anything that's similar like this, from things that it's very common that there would be proof and evidence that you have to bring that evidence. It's something that's discreet. That there's not necessarily that there's proofs. Yishav alav, then he can make an oath to say it was nainus and it'll be potter. So regarding every claim that a partner makes is the same idea and simple types of lachas. And so to the same thing regarding the claims of guardians. If it's possible that there would be a proof, so then either brings a proof regarding his claim or yisham or he pays. Which is well, like we explained in the third paragraph, because since you could, then you have to. If you can't and it's not expected, then you could get off just with an oath.